Campus FM presents an open seminar on youth and community-related issues entitled Beyond the Formal, an Educational Experience Made Real, organized by Dr. Andrew Atsopardi.
Good evening. Merhaba l-kulħadd. Tema hija non-formal education, allura sa nitkellmu ftit bil-Malti u ftit in English. Right? Ħalli nagħmluha non-formal. Però, nixtieq l-ewwel ħaġa nagħtikom merba kif diġà għamilt, nirringrazzjakom li ġejtu u nispera li meta nitilqu minn hawnhekk kulħadd ikun konvint minn dak li qed nippruvaw nikkonvinġukom bih. It-tluq tal-partenza, point of departure tagħna huwa illi dik li tissejjaħ formal education. Jiġifieri dik li qiegħda istituzzjonalizzata. Non-formal education. Dak illi jsir b'mod volontarju u dak li jissejjaħ experiential learning. U informal education, informal learning, dak li nitalmu matul il-ħajja. Our point of departure is illi those three methods of learning are complementary to each other. They are non-divisive. One cannot stand without the other. Dak huwa l-punt tal-partenza tagħna. U maħniex sa ngħidu xi ħaġa favur jew kontra iżejjed minn waħda minnhom. Irridu narawhom it-tlieta bħala xi ħaġa compact. Però the three of them have their own characteristics. Hekk naħsbu ftit fil-formal system of education. Il-curriculum huwa stabilit mill-esperti. U min jidħol fil-formal system of education biex ngħid hekk irid joqgħod għal dak li jlestu l-esperti. Il-formal system of education hija departmentalized, timetable, numru ta' constants, klassi, skola, laboratorju, library. The students' results are published u kif jgħidu wkoll ceremoniously acknowledged, xi 20 graduation ceremony kellna dis-sena, barra l-price days kollha li jsiru fl-iskejjel. Fin-non-formal m'għandna xejn compartmentalized. Nista' nkun qed nagħmel non-formal learning jiena fit-triq, f'youth center, f'kafe, hawnhekk. Ġo youth center. M'għandix constants. M'hemm xejn jorbotni bil-ħin. Voluntary attendance. Jekk jiġu tajjeb, jekk ma jiġux. M'hemmx ċeremoniji. No results are published tal-voluntary work, per eżempju. But non-formal learning takes place voluntary activities, youth organization activities, peer learning. Anke minn family trades, you see, youth exchanges. U practice ħajja ta' non-formal learning, edha sir hawnhekk dal-università stess, mingħajr ma aħna nirrealizzaw biżejjed. Dik li tissejjaħ l-extracurricular credit system. Sistema ta' non-formal learning within a formal institution of education. Fejn l-studenti jistgħu jagħmlu extracurricular activities, wol dir barra mill-curriculum tagħhom u jieħdu l-credits tagħhom ukoll. Li rridu nagħmlu fil-ħsieb tagħna llejla hija li we strike a balance bejn dak li toffri l-formal system of education tal-im ta' hard skills l-iktar. U dak li tgħin tgħallem non-formal learning, soft skills. Jiena fil-bidu li l-formal system of education hija organizzata ħafna. Għandha ħafna constants. U allura min jattend il-formal system of education irid jintegra ruħu fis-sistema dik li tissejjaħ system integration. Għalkemm issir ftit ukoll social integration, però fin-non-formal learning m'hemmx sistema, m'hemmx integration f'sistema partikolari, allora qed noħolqu bilanċ bejn system integration u social integration. U tnej bżonn jużi. Il-kelma non-formil u informil kuntant huma misnomers. Għaspeċi non-formil u tagħmel li trid, tiġi blan gravata kif għamilt jien. Fil-fazza tindunaw li għaw ftit speakers blan gravata, oħrajn blin gravata, biex naraw li l-formil u non-formil huma tajbin it-tnej, and complementary to each other. U għamilu blaġwek u koll. Imma minu involved bħal youth and community workers li huwa s-suġġett tagħna tad-dipartiment tagħna. F'non-formal learning u koll hemm elementi kbar ta' rigor, naf xin namel, għandi aims and objectives, għandi some sort a form of curriculum li nitkellem fuq iktar l-qudiem, u hemm ukoll bżonn ta' dik li tissejjaħ academic, għalkemm mhijiex fil-formal system, academic excellence. Ma nistax jien nagħmel xi ħaġa biex inkun għamilta, għamilt activity biex inkun għamilta. U again hawnhekk irid noħloq dal-bilanċ. Il-curriculum fil-formal system of education u aktar product curriculum sa' joħroġ fl-aħħar. Waqt fil-non-formal learning hemm dak li jissejjaħ process curriculum nibnieħ waqt li jien għaddej fl-activity tiegħi. A word of caution, ħalli ma naġlux. Noqogħdu attenti li ma nagħmlux il-formal system of education informali. Għaliex hemm bżonn li jkun hemm ċertu disċiplina li nitgħallem ċertu suġġetti u ċertu skills f'sistema formali. Noqgħod attent li ma nagħmilx dik il-biċċa xogħol. Da s'kemm irid noqgħod attent illi fin-non formal ma nagħmilx formal. Illi għamilt activity, mela lura rrit noħroċ ċertifikat, rrit nara l-attendance, namel ċeremonja tal-graduation, għax inkella nitfixkel. U dan huwa l-bilanċ li rridu niprovaw nħol, u l-ewwel f'moħħna, mbagħad fil-kultura ta' pajjiżna fl-edukazzjoni. U l-ikbar problema li qed tiffaċċa non-formal system of education hija illi qatt m'għandniex biżejjed educators li jikkonvinċu lill-istat, lill-labor market, lill-formal educators, illi non-formal learning huwa importanti u komplementari għal dak illi tagħmel il-formal system of education. Kemm il-Council of Europe, kemm il-European Commission, ilhom jaħdmu dal-aħħar seba' snin fuq kif sa nagħmlu biex nagħmlu validation u accreditation ta' non-formal learning. Imxejna ħafna l-qudiem, kważi wasanna, però għad irridu nagħmlu iżjed. Huwa l-responsabilità ta' non-formal educators, il-kelma educators hija indispensabbli dil-ħaġa. We educate il-ħin kollu. Dak li jissejjaħ youth work u community work, mhux biss activism, imma hemm ħafna ħafna edukazzjoni x'isir. Ma rridx intawwal, però għattilkom this is going to be a non-formal system. And we are going to keep to the timetable. Wol dir sa nafza lill-speakers illi għandhom il-ħin. U meta jkun fadlilhom 3 minutes intella li jaraw card. Meta jsir il-ħin, red card u nitfu l-mic. Alright. Qabel nibdew, nixtieq nirringrazzjakom narġa' darb'oħra li ġejtu, nirringrazzja lill-Dr. Andrew Azzopardi li ħaħsib jorganizza dil-biċċa xogħol, ringrazzja lill-staff sħabi. U b'mod partikolari nixtieq nirringrazzja lill-Dr. Carmel Borġdin tal-Faculty of Education illi kull meta minna activity dejjem attenda u kienu illi għena ħafna biex naslu sa fejn wasanna. U to cut a long story short, nixtieq nistiednek Dr. Borġ ħalli t-introduċi li tixtieq t-introduċi in a non-formal manner.
L-aħħar darba li tqajna kien qabel il-Kunsill, allura konna din nitkellmu dwar Department in the Making. Tajjeb, illum bippjaċir ngħid li jiena dekan mhux iktar ta' 5 dipartimenti imma dekan ta' fakulta ta' 6 dipartimenti. Ngħidha bippjaċir kbir għaliex ovvjament min segwa il-proċess jaf kemm ħaf it-tul, jaf kemm sewa sigħat ta' diskussjoni u sintendi iva sigħat ta' ġlied ukoll. U allura bippjaċir u b'sens kbir ta' soddisfazzjon jataw biex nerġa' nirrepeti l-statement li kont għamilt fil-laqgħa li kellna bejnietna ftit ta' ġimgħa ilu, ġifieri din hija fakultà li trid toħroġ mill-inkobu ta' fakultà ta' tagħlim fl-iskejjel għal fakultà li tirrikonoxxi tajjeb l-edukazzjoni tul il-ħajja. U naħseb li dan id-dipartiment u intkom flimkien mal-akademiċi edinaw biex tamlu dan l-statement. Triduna pala fakulta li inxeddu dik l-image tagħna ta' fakulta tal-iskejjel u nilbsu il-libsa ta' fakulta li tħares lej l-edukazzjoni tul il-ħajja. Xi ħaġa dwar dak li qal Dr. Azzopardi li tinteressani ħafna mill-punto di vista ta' anka politika ekonomika. Waħda mill-problemi tal-edukazzjoni informali u non formali hija li dawn iż-żewġ setturi donnhom ibeżżaw in-nies. L-awtoritajiet lokali u internazzjonali tant huma fissati fl-istandardizzazzjoni, tant qegħdin parti integrali mill-forma li tkejjel kollox u dan mhuwiex fenomenu lokali imma wkoll fenomenu internazzjonali, jekk tipprova tagħmel li tista' u semma wkoll l-Unjoni Ewropea biex tistandardizza wkoll settur li qatt ma kien standardizzat. Ok? Għalaniex għax għaw din il-fissazzjoni li b'xi mod irridu nistandardizzaw l-aspettattivi tagħna. U din hija xi ħaġa li hija antitetika tradizzjonalment u storikament għas-setturi informali u non formali, però ġejja minn din il-fissazzjoni li nikkomparaw tajjeb li nistandardizzaw, nerġa' nirrepeti mhux biss lokalment iżda wkoll internazzjonalment. U dina tinkwetani. Għax meta nibdew nistandardizzaw, meta nipprovaw dejjem inkejlu, se nkissru tajjeb karatteristika ewlenija propju ta' dawn iż-żewġ setturi. Semmejt il-ġlida li fadlilkom, jiġifieri l-ġlida għar-rikonoxximent tajjeb tal-qasam tagħkom bħala qasam professjonali. U ħanerġa' nieħu l-opportunità li intom tridu tkunu biex sintendi din il-ġlida tiġġilduha u taslu fejn għandkom taslu. Tippretendux li persuna waħdu jew inkella grupp ta' akademiċi se jaslu weħidhom. L-aħħar laqgħa li kellna għadna li wasaltu bħala dipartiment li x'kien hemm nies simpatetiċi għal kawża li huma pożizzjonati f'postijiet strateġiċi. U dik hija ovvjament l-istess strateġija li għandkom tużaw. Tidu taħsbu b'mod tattiku u taħdmu b'mod strateġiku. Ok, ġifiri, u tafu li issa għandkom is-saħħa ta' dipartiment u s-saħħa wkoll ta' fakulta li sintendi hija waħda mill-ikbar fakultajiet li għandha din l-università. U dik hija xi ħaġa li sintendi għandha tqawwilkom għalkom. Din hija x'aktarx l-ewwel attività mhux vera uffiċjali bħala dipartiment, jiena nerġa' nieħu l-okkażjoni biex mill-ġdid nirringrazzja mill-qalb lid-Dr. Antni Azzopardi li sintendi wieħed mill-pjonieri ewlenin tajjeb f'dan is-settur. Sintendi huwa l-ewwel kap ta' dipartiment, ngħidilkom forsi sigrit żgħir li kont jien li insistejt li jkun l-ewwel kap ta' dipartiment li kien għalih diġà rtira. U allura dan juri biċ-ċar li l-ħidma tiegħu kienet ħidma ġenwina, brisq tajjeb is-settur u mhux sempliċement tajjeb xi ħidma biex jigglorifika lilu nnifsu. Għalhekk mill-ġdid entni nixtieq minn qalbi nerġa' nirringrazzjak tajjeb tal-xogħol li għamilt brisq is-settur u brisq it-twaqqif ta' dan id-dipartiment u nawgura tajjeb li sintendi min se jiġi warajk ikun denju tajjeb tax-xogħol tajjeb tal-ħidma u tal-ġenwinità dik li iktar ħaġa li timpressjonani tal-ġenwinità tiegħek. M'għandi l-ebda dubju. Hemm xi ħaġa li ħanfaqqaħ issa li tista' tkun sorpriża għalikom, però importanti li nagħmilhaw jekk ma tafux. Ir-rettur qed jaħseb biex iwaqqaf fakulta ġdida. Ok? Hija fakulta tax-xjenzi applikati. Alright? U jista' jagħti l-każ li sintendi li dan id-dipartiment jittantawh jaħsibha jekk irid imur f'din il-fakulta. Din hija sintendi mistoqsija filosofika li f'dan ir-rigward, hija mistoqsija ideoloġika, hija mistoqsija politika, hija mistoqsija ta' kalatura importantissima. U nixtieq li nagħmilha jiena, ġifieri qed tifhem, hija deċiżjoni importantissima li tistgħu tieħdu hawnhekk u mhix deċiżjoni faċli fejn tridu tillokalizzaw ruhkom. Ok? Jien min issa nagħmel l-ebda propaganda għall-fakulta, hija deċiżjoni purament tagħkom, però irrid ngħid li fil-fakulta hemm nies li huma alleati tajjeb tad-dipartiment nies li jafu xi ħaġa jew iktar dwar l-edukazzjoni fis-setturi differenti tagħha. U s-intendi hija fakultà li tista' s-servi ta' bażi tajba minn fej intom toperaw. Waħda mill-claims tagħkom għal fej sirtu dipartiment kienet proprju li tixtiequ tikkumplementaw il-konċett ta' edukazzjoni formali bil-ħidma tagħkom fis-settur non formali u informali tal-edukazzjoni. Dik sa fejna fin kienet waħda mill-claims il-kbar. So din inħallija s-intendi fidejkom. All right, biex tiddeċidu, però s'intendi kull deċiżjoni għandha l-implikazzjonijiet tagħha. Irrid ngħid ukoll li bħalissa għaddej proċess biex jitwaqqaf dipartiment ieħor, tajjeb id-dipartiment ta' Adult Continuing Education, s'intendi għadna f'nofs il-proċess, hija ġlieda daqstan kbira daqs kemm kienet proprju jitwaqqif ta' dan id-dipartiment u nara li dawn iż-żewġ dipartimenti jistgħu jaħdmu ħafna u ħafna viċin ta' xulxin bris proprju dawn is-settur li inti Dr. Azzopardi għadek kif tkellim dwarhom. Ma nafx ġitx bħala sorpriża dak li għadni kif qatt, alright, però s'intendi se tiġi fuqkom, se jittantawkom u s'intendi intom tridu tagħmlu d-deċiżjonijiet tagħkom. Ovvjament intom se tkunu n-nies li tieħdu din id-deċiżjoni. So prattikament għandkom tliet sfidi quddiem għajnejkom, it-tisħiħ ta' dan id-dipartiment li għadu kif twielet, iċ-challenge li s'intendi li tkomplu tiġġieldu għall-status professjonali tas-settur tagħkom u t-tielet waħda ma nafx meta ġejja eżatt, imma naħseb li ġejja wkoll mhix fil-bot hija proprju d-deċiżjoni li tridu tieħdu fej tridu tkomplu bil-ħidma tagħkom fih dan l-università. Jiena nieqaf hawnhekk billi nawgura l-ħidma t-tajba lilkom u s'intendi nawgura li dan l-ewwel din l-ewwel attività ta' dan id-dipartiment tkun attività produttiva bris l-istess settur. Grazzi.
Grazzi għal Dr. Boħra, Dr. Borċ. Ussa nibdew bil-proċeduri. Dr. Borċ ta' naftit aħbarijiet. Issa laġi tal-aħbarijiet, unkomplu bil-aħbarijiet. Min sa' jiġu għarajja, e għat ma' ġembi. Right, nistidan il-Dr. Marilyn Clark issa ħalli tagħmel l-ewwel contribution tagħha fejn it-title huwa Interpreting Risk, Challenging Stereotypes About Youth. Dr. Clark.
Thank you, Tony. Jien ħan nuża lingwa differenti għax inħoss niżjed komda. Xi ħadd għandu xi problema jekk nitkellem bl-Ingliż? No, okay. All right. I'm gonna try and link this up with what Dr. Borge said. Tony started off by talking about informal and non-formal and formal education. And our target, who is our target population? In fact, our target population is youth. When we talk about non-formal education, it is not only targeted towards young people, as Professor Mayo will be highlighting. We have continuing, lifelong, and adult education as well. However, our main concern in youth and community studies is the young person. And I was asked to talk about this concept of risk. It's a favorite, it's something that I'm particularly interested in at the moment, because I believe that the way young people are viewed in society has a very big impact on the way we provide services and the way we allow, you know, or create provisions for young people. And therefore, I sort of wanted to take a bit of a critical perspective on this concept of risk. I'm going to be reading my paper because it's rather conceptual, and as Tony said, we only have 15 minutes. So I thought, you know, I won't stray, and I'll just sort of be able to follow through with what I wanted to say. There'll be a PowerPoint presentation to sort of help you follow my main points, and I'll allow some time for discussion afterwards. Okay. I'm going to start with a quote from Shakespeare because this idea that young people are perceived in a negative or representations of young people tend to be negatively tainted is not a new one. Even Socrates didn't have very nice things to say about young people. But I start with a quote from Shakespeare who says, "I would there were no age between 10 and 3 and 20, or that youth would sleep out the rest, for there is nothing in between but getting wenches with child, wronging the ancestry, stealing and fighting." And this is taken from The Winter's Day. a clear indication that throughout history, the concept of youth, although it is a modern concept, that young people have generally not been very positively regarded. In fact, I move on, representations of youth. I'm going to look at a bit how young people have been depicted in society. Youth at risk is rapidly becoming a favored label within both foreign and local educational institutions and other organizations providing services for young people. Representations of youth are partly about setting young people apart from adults and children as a transition point between two separate stages. We, in fact, comment a lot on young youth as a period of transition. However, while this may appear a neutral endeavor, there's no wrong with saying that young people are in transition. Such representations are also concerned with making distinctions between groups of young people in terms of discourses of deviance, disaffection, and protection. Difference is, in fact, constructed in discourse. It is the way we talk about young people that often results in our perception of them. A very important person in the history of adolescence and youth, Stanley Hall. From George Stanley Hall onwards, dominant representations of youth have simultaneously treated youth as a period of inevitable turmoil, the concept of Sturm und Drang, storm and stress, and as a time to find one's place in normal life. Sort of, you know, they're not quite there, they're getting there. In other words, the search for identity. Most academic researchers and policymakers tend to view young people through the ideological veil epitomized by the storm and stress model, although research indicates that, in fact, young people are not necessarily undergoing storm and stress. We still tend to view them in this manner. Consequently, mainstream academic literature, unfortunately, us academics are very responsible for this, and perhaps even more so my profession, which is psychology, tends to look at the young person as perhaps being in turmoil. So consequently, mainstream academic literature has operated in conjunction with social welfare policies to target specific groups of young people as in need of surveillance, protection, and/or care. Many of the dominant representations of youth found in academic research texts draw on a range of discourses that also pervade more popular cultural domains, such as soap operas, newspaper coverage especially, and feature films. Many organizations and groups are keen to portray youth for purposes of social comment and also for commerce. The way in which youth are regarded in society has the most formative influence upon the public policies toward them. This is my main point, that if we view young people as deficit, then the policies which we develop to work with young people will have this orientation. Expectations attached to age are culturally produced, in fact, by a variety of sources. Academic professional languages have a very important part to play. The popular media, public commentators or politicians often have something to gain by perhaps depicting youth in this way and then are seen to save the world from the menace of youth, perhaps. The criminal justice system and interactions with a highly visible select segment of the youth population, for example, juvenile delinquents or drug abusers, who are a very small proportion of the youth population but who are highly visible. Two dominant and contradictory strands in public perception of youth are envy and fear. Adult nostalgia and fear may be projected onto groups of young people, those at risk, in inverted commas, justifying their increased surveillance and regulation. Ensuing policy may result in exclusion, the creation of otherness and marginalization. Categories of young people are set apart and denied the right to be self-determining. The delineation of young people as other leaves them open to a projective process whereby their own voices are lost and the anxieties and angers of a social formation, our generation essentially, comes to rest upon their shoulders. Certain groups of young people are seen in deficit, okay, as a problem, and the answer to this behavior is to impose more control on the one hand and on the other to direct remedial resources and interventions at those deemed to be at risk. social representations act as maps in people's heads, influencing their perceptions of actual social actors. So our representations of young people actually then influence the way we view young people. Common sense may lead us to think that in social situations, people first see and then define. But we actually know, and research does indicate, that social representations cause us to first define and then see. What does this mean? We are more likely to identify disruptive behavior in a student, okay, who has been labeled as unmotivated. We notice such behavior more. Emotional disturbance in a child labeled as emotionally disturbed. And antisocial behavior in a child labeled as delinquent. Let's move on to the at-risk concept. Thus, one of the key features of academic representations of youth in the is the widespread construction of youth in general and specific groups of young people in particular as problems. This problem status may be interpreted in two ways. The young person may be seen as being the source of a particular focus of adult concern, for example, football hooligan or juvenile delinquent or drug addict, or as being at risk of getting into difficulty of some kind, such as teenage pregnancy or school dropout. Young people are frequently presented as either actively deviant or passively at risk, and sometimes as both simultaneously. There is a gender bias in these representations, with young men actually being more likely to be depicted as actively deviant, especially in aggressive forms, delinquent forms, while young women are more likely to be constructed as passively at risk, sort of at risk of sexual abuse, at risk of being pregnant, etc. Generally, conceptualizations of youth at risk draw on a psychological framework, conceiving of risk factors in terms of dysfunction in individuals or and in their families, rather than on a more sociological framework. Thus, discourses have constructed youth at risk as a deficit. Okay, let's look a bit at policy responses. According to Jefferson Smith, very important authors in the area of youth studies, since the 1900s, adult-sponsored institutions for the regulation and protection of young people became increasingly professional. While before it was more on a voluntary basis, then they got together in a professional manner to take care of young people. Okay. With social reformers drawing on the emerging concept of adolescence to define normal and ideal behavior for young people. According to Griffin, Hall associated normal adolescence with unspontaneous, conformist, and confident young people, who however hid an emotional turmoil of sexual confusion and self-doubt. While such a demeanor was particularly linked with young middle-class males, it came to be seen as appropriate and desirable for all young people. So we have a very middle-class measuring rod. Okay. The mainstream perspective in academic literature and policy development on youth has rarely questioned the central tenets of the storm and stress model. Instead, the agenda has been to attempt to identify the causes of various socially constructed problems, from juvenile delinquency to substance abuse, etc., as lying within the young person, essentially. While one cannot deny that these problems are real, drug addiction exists, juvenile delinquency exists, absenteeism exists, and impact negatively on the life world of some young people, much of the mainstream literature and policy approaches tend to focus on personal attributes of young people or their background. Therefore, citing the example of school failure, the dominant discourse has asked what is wrong with these youth, okay, rather than what is wrong with schooling. Okay. One is not contesting that young people may experience difficulties or structural constraints, but one must acknowledge that the language used to describe them will influence social actors' search for the sources of the problem and consequently avenues for its resolution. The at-risk concept focuses on the young person and consequently may have negative effects. The example of alcohol, one of my favorite subject matters. Following the death of a teenage girl last New Year's Eve, a moral panic has erupted surrounding youth drinking. The policy response, however, has not been targeted at controlling the alcohol industry, such as enforcing existing laws regarding the sales of alcohol to minors and exercising the state's authority to repeal licensing from offending establishments. Instead, the authorities have decided to tackle the problem by creating more laws, okay, that control youth behavior and that further criminalize young people. If youth are at risk, then the cause of the problem and the solution is to be found in them and their hedonistic lifestyle. Alternatively, the root of the problem may be found in adult society, and in the case of alcohol, in a group of people who have made a fortune out of the leisure and alcohol industry. It is, however, easier to identify the root of the problem, and hence the solution as being the young person. I'm worried it's going to show me the yellow card. Okay. Less negative and more inclusive terms than at-risk are needed. Here I quote Bourdieu, who says that since the task of the social scientist lies in describing the logic of struggles over words, you can understand his having problems with the words he has to use in order to talk about those struggles. According to Terrail and Combe, we need a new vocabulary that does not pathologize individuals and their communities. Thus, one questions whether risk is in fact a useful concept or perhaps a self-fulfilling prophecy. Thus, one questions, okay, an emerging ideology of risk emphasizes a deficit model and locates the problem and pathology in the individual. My yellow card, okay. The labeling effects and self-fulfilling prophecy have been extensively documented in the socio-psychological literature. On the other hand, a strengths perspective highlights that even in times of stress and strain, young people are perceived as active agents who can and have the power and competence to determine their own lives. The faith in people's strengths to successfully deal with pressures in a productive manner is a central idea of the strengths model that guides empowerment social practice. It is crucial that the discourse of empowerment, and this I put a stress on, is not only employed in lip service. Youth workers must avoid becoming Janus-faced, double-faced, in other words. That's Janus, the god of gates. According to Jeff Sandsmith, when pleading for funds, they may emphasize the dangers posed by unmonitored youth and also the inadequacies of young people by using terms such as at risk, while then to young people they use the concept of empowerment. Conclusion. So you let me conclude. Okay. This paper has examined how policy, professional and media discourses around youth at risk impact upon young people. We have examined how problems and consequently solutions related to youth at risk have been constructed. A research agenda to be developed is that concerning the exploration of how particular technologies of the state, for example, streaming in schools, identification of students with special needs, early identification of problem youth, actually work to produce youth at risk. In relation to delinquency, I quote one of my favorite authors, Tannenbaum, as early as 1938, emphasized the deleterious effects of defining. He highlights that it matters not what the intentions of the definer are. Even good intentions can have bad consequences, and evoke the very traits that are complained of. The youth may then actively take on the role that is fashioned for him. Another important point is that the power of definition emerges from a privileged superior position and access to knowledge regarding the individual. Professionals working with youth at risk often have access to such information. According to Foucault, the knowledge obtained allows for a separation and isolation of individuals in order to reclassify them into particular criteria considered opportune. Criteria, binary codes such as normal, abnormal, harmless, dangerous, healthy, ill. Anyone who falls short of these criteria is in fact fed into the institutions that attempt to normalize young people. And I conclude, because I'm sure my time is up, okay, he's going to switch off the mic. According to Beck and his concept of Risikogesellschaft, I had to put that word, it makes me sound a bit more. In late modernity, the world is very preoccupied. It's perceived as a dangerous place, very preoccupied with risk. Now, although risks are real, we do need to understand that in the modern world, individualized lifestyles come into being in which people are forced to put themselves in the center of their plans and reflexively construct their own biographies. Werner and Smith, Garmezi and Rutter and others conclude that most children and adolescents have self-righting tendencies such that competence and confidence can flourish even in most adverse circumstances. Profound relationships rather than risk factors have more meaningful impact on the direction individual lives take. The implications for youth work are self-evident. That's a good way to get out of explaining what the implications for youth work are. And here, my last quote from Sandtruck before you switch off the mic. Growing up has never been easy. However, adolescence is not best viewed as a time of rebellion, crisis, pathology and deviance. A far more accurate vision of adolescence describes it as a time of evaluation, of decision-making, of commitment and of carving out a place in the world. Most of the problems of today's youth are not with the youth themselves. What adolescents need is access to a range of legitimate opportunities and to long-term support from adults who deeply care about them.
Thank you, Marilyn. I think that was an excellent exposition of representations of youth. Yes. Wow, Narao, Mashiex iridu nħabtu wiċċna l-youth and community workers, mal-representations kollha. U għalhekk maħniex popolari ħafna u maħniex vote-catching category of social actors. But that is the situation. Anyway, our next speaker is Ms. Miriam Thelma, who is a lecturer at the Department of Youth and Community Studies, and she will be discussing non-formal and informal educators. Is it a myth or is it a reality? Miriam Thelma.
Ek li ħan profi nagħmel lum, nikkonvinċikom l-importanza ta' informal education. U ek fuq il-bonni sarawnek din taraw lin-nesi. Ek ġej minn Scotland, mhux għax għandi Scotchies palissa laqgħa xejn, ir-raġel għawijat, by the way. Bil-quilt, laqgħa xejn bil-quilt. Imma ek dal-aħħar jiġri oħti l-iktar waħda ziza qed ta' Scotland u ġejt ispirata b'dan il-monster. U imħabba l-fatt li hekk fl-Iskozja dan il-monster hemm wonderful stories fuq. Imnalla ma kienu fil-fatt. Għax ħafna nies ħadu ħafna. Sorry. Honey, off it's my mobile. I thought I didn't get it with me. In kella hype I do. I'm McLennard. Fittex ma importax. U għalek f'daqqa waħda. Tista titfih, please.
Sorry, tija, għan kolx fih.
All right. In Scotland, the locals tell us wonderful stories about their monster from the deep. They even come complete with photographs, mysterious sound recordings, tales of near-escape adventures, and the flourishing tourist industry. Indeed, without the monster, the place, and the people of Loch Ness would not be unknown, like other countries, perhaps. And like Nessie, the issue of non-formal and informal educators is cited from time to time as it pops its head from the deep recesses. Stories are told about the positive impact of youth workers on young people. It is an event that is usually followed by great excitement and animated talk. Fil-fatt palissa fuq il-gazzetti għaddejjin ftit affarijiet palissa. Typically, however, the commotion soon subsides as the mythical object suddenly disappears. It is seemingly forgotten for a while, only to return sometime later on being discovered by another group of people or another group of students who just enter the Youth and Community Studies course u f'daqqa waħda nerġgħu nibdew il-furur ta' kif dil-professjoni ħankabruha. This view puts non-formal education and informal education on the back burner rather than on a par with formal education to give education a holistic dimension. And this really worried me until only lately when I realized that looking at informal education as a myth, rather than as a reality, is, after all, something worth looking at and perhaps more valued. What are myths? Myths are stories which have lasted by retelling, because they have been thought worth retelling. Their truths are perennial and perhaps everlasting. In fact, This is the central point about myths. They are myth stories or mysteries whose meanings are not to be seen on the surface, but inside. Implied, folded in under the literal surface of words, and if we look under the scam and the scum, what do we find inside? We find out that our values, loves, motivations, enthusiasms have all come through myths and stories told informally in bedtime stories, in books, films, and TV programs. What about fairy stories? Fairy stories are also myths. And Bruno Bettelheim, in his book, The Uses of the Enchantment and the Meaning and Importance of Fairy Tales, suggested that each fairy tale is a magic mirror which reflects some aspect of our inner world and of the steps required by our evolution from immaturity to maturity. Well, these philosophical reflections lately gave me strength to pursue my studies in non-formal education, because today I believe that by looking at non-formal and informal learning from this perspective gives informal and non-formal education more value. Why? Because as with myths, when we learn informally and non-formally, this kind of learning becomes ingrained within and often absorbed subliminally. It can enable us to become the change, develop, and the growth within us. Non-formal and informal education are vital, therefore, and complementary to formal education. Perhaps I've started with all this, and Tony already did some clarification and of the definitions, but I really would want to go a little bit deeper in this. Coming to terms, education suggests intentionality, whereas learning can also take place without intention. What's informal education should be used when special contexts are created from informal learning. Informal education therefore supports informal learning, since it refers to the conscious introduction of learning inputs into informal learning situations. I now would like to share a study, one of the studies, about non-formal learning by Cullen. And Cullen et al. In 2000 suggested that learning outside of the formal education and work can help increase individual self-confidence and improve their social skills. It contributes to an increasing commitment to citizenship, social identity, and social capital. It also attracts particular groups of people with a common need of shared expectations, such as ethnic and faith communities, disability, old age, parenting, environmental protests, community regeneration, health and leisure. The study found that participants often did not perceive themselves to be learning, particularly in unstructured settings. However, informal learning was found to enable people to repackage themselves through increased self-confidence, improved social skills, and better metacognitive skills, learning how to learn. Aristotle once said, "The things we have to learn before we do them, we learn before doing them." And another quote, which I also like in this context, is that the knowledge of the world is only to be acquired in the world and not in the closet. Some time ago, a 17-year-old boy, young person really, told me, "I think a lot of the time at school, they teach you knowledge, but they never teach you how to learn." And this sums up the basic challenge facing education in the coming years. Education has become a concern bordering on an obsession. Not only is it fundamental to individual life chances, but more and more, it is a decisive influence on our collective identity, the effectiveness of our institutions and our quality of life. Across the world, governments and interest groups are making education integral to strategies for economic development, social cohesion, and risk reduction. This increasing high profile and transparent role in producing a wide range of public and social outcomes is one of the sources of increased pressures on us as educational managers. But the goal of a learning society is still remote. Young people in our societies are having perhaps more trouble than ever before in making the transition to adulthood. Persistent and unpredictable change in economy, technology, culture, values, and relationships throws doubt about the institutions we have created to deliver education. And to achieve this, okay, however, it's not a question, how what's it, Tony, huh? It's not a question simply of securing more resources for these institutions which we have relied upon more than a century. Education is no longer the one-way transmission of information and knowledge, but this is a pattern of interaction that allows us to acquire new information to develop disciplines which lead to greater understanding and to deliver shared meaning. For some practitioners, this is a disconcerting message. The task of today's politicians was first proposed by Illich more than 30 years ago. Rather, he said that we must deschool society to prepare the young to be genuinely autonomous. Fil-fattaħna nibdew namlu autonomous, minnu namlu l-ampoti training. Responsible and creative. And this person over there, whom I took when I was at the Ramblas, was rather creative to go there in front of everyone and to continue learning throughout their adult lives. One of these shifts towards a less top-down, one-way transmission attitude brings me back to Socrates and the wisdom, our metaphor of an educator is Socrates. Li provajamil ek, ġab il-metafor ta' educator as a midwife or a facilitator, helping young people to give birth to their own babies and ideas rather than passively receiving second-hand knowledge from adults. It is an active, mind-opening, two-way exchange model of learning. Of course, children do also have to learn informal education with some transmission about our world of adult beliefs before they can criticize those and acquire the freedom to choose their own values and beliefs. Formal and informal learning are not mutually exclusive, but complementary parts of education. Thanks.
Thank you also, Miriam. That was a very good, again, definition, or rather clarification of terms, and some points for reflection on how to help young people learn. Our department, X Program of Youth Studies, does not only produce youth and community workers, it also produces professionals. And I'm proud to say that Miriam was one of our students who did her bachelor's degree, her master's, and now doing her doctorate. And therefore, I would like to encourage all students to carry on with their studies, and to prove this today, we are also introducing two of our students following the master's course. It is not a question of any particular choice, but it's a question of the topic of this seminar. And our next speaker will be Maria Pisani, who was also one of our bachelor's students and who is now reading for her master's. And Maria will talk about the long, long and winding road of non-formal education. Thank you, Maria.
Good evening. I was going to deliver my paper in Maltese, but I decided that would be far too painful for all of us, so I'm going to be doing it in English. The boundaries and the limits between formal and non-formal education serve as the starting point to this paper. Whilst non-formal education is accessible to people of all ages, for the purpose of this paper, I will concentrate on young people. Specifically, I'll be focusing on education as a means and not an end, the shift towards the formalisation of non-formal education, non-formal education and its role in combating social exclusion, and education as a political act, where I'll be drawing on the work of Paulo Freire and Antonio Gramsci. Next slide. Education as a means and not an end. The once unquestioned notions of learning and education are now being discussed, and the societal changes that have transformed European and Maltese society from industrial right up to post-industrial societies highlight the fundamental role of knowledge acquisition in economic growth and wealth, amongst others. How do we define education in a knowledge-based society, and what form or variety of forms does education take? In order to proceed, it would be prudent to ask, who gains from education? There is a distinct tension between education as a pursuit, which seeks to benefit the individual, and education plans specifically to meet the needs of society. What is the relationship between what Amartya Sen describes as a human capital orientation and the emphasis on human capability? Whilst both place the individual at the centre, they essentially focus on very different achievements. Sen states that literature on human capital tends to concentrate on the agency of human beings in augmenting production possibilities. The perspective of human capability focuses, on the other hand, on the ability, or the substantive freedom, of people to lead the lives they have reason to value and to enhance the real choices they have. If the role of education is to generate more efficiency in commodity production, then this will result in an improvement in human capital, leading to both an increase in the value of production in the economy and to the educated individual. However, Sen argues that irrespective of the level of income, a person may still benefit from education in reading, communicating, arguing, and being able to choose in a more informed way, in being taken seriously by others, and so on. The benefits of education thus exceed its role as human capital in commodity production. The human capability perspective would note and value these additional roles as well. Reflecting on formal education requires reflection on the non-formal and vice versa. As an advocate of the non-formal, I find that a blurring between the two can be misleading. Whilst the two are closely related, and it can be argued a significant amount of overlap exists, they remain very distinct. If we take a look at the formal education sector, a host of reforms are taking place to incorporate elements of non-formal education, such as individualized curricular approaches, student councils, self-regulated learning, as well as allowing students to choose subjects according to their own liking. Such reforms testify to the awareness of formal education of the need to adapt to societal changes. The general shift in thinking is that the formal education system is needed for credits and diplomas, but that this system does not succeed in motivating all learners to gain knowledge of all they can and want to learn. However, the notion that non-formal education fills the gaps which formal education does not fill by giving the learner a say in what she or he learns is not a statement that sits comfortably with me either. Undoubtedly, non-formal education may, and often does, offer an opportunity to resist coercive learning modes and look for learning opportunities outside of compulsory education. However, as I shall argue, such an approach does not capture the essence of non-formal education. Next slide. The shift towards formalising non-formal education. There is increasing awareness of non-formal education being used to mend the failings of the formal education system. The movement towards formalising non-formal education could run the risk of compromising its informal and voluntary character that provides a space for creativity, spontaneity and active participation. Dubois-Raymond in 2003 described the risk of non-formal education dividing into the hard and soft sector. the former being the instrumental and qualification branch, the latter the more permissive leisure and voluntary branch. In today's world, we know that formal education cannot guarantee a lifelong career or a well-paid job, and a tertiary education is definitely not financially or situationally accessible to everyone. Economic disadvantages for some young people may be so acute that one may be pressed to reason that non-formal education must give priority to attaining the necessary qualifications to the end of acquiring employment. Non-formal education in many ways seems to have been shaped into education for the misfits, the marginalised and the dropouts of society. Non-formal education in the community can play a critical role in combating social exclusion in all its forms. But this has the potential of putting non-formal education in a somewhat ambivalent role. It would appear that non-formal education has been endorsed as indispensable in the struggle against youth marginalisation, but I argue at what cost? There is a real risk of non-formal education prostituting itself or selling itself out, instrumentalising non-formal education for economic purposes by training marginalised youth, forcing them into learning measures in which they have no control and no influence, simply to fit them into predetermined slots. Such measures do not fall under the non-formal sphere and neglect the essential dialectics between economic and political participation and emancipation. Non-formal education and its role in combating social exclusion. Participation is widely regarded as central to the concept of social exclusion. As Hills et al. In 2002 noted, they break down participation into four domains and highlight that a lack of participation in any one of these domains is a sufficient premise for social exclusion. The domains are the following: consumption, production, political engagement, and social interaction. The inability to engage in any of these domains is equated with social exclusion, the violation of the value of social justice and equity, and the denial of opportunities that should be open to all. Clearly, genuine opportunity to participate on equal terms has certain material preconditions. Such preconditions are not met, for example, in the case of an unemployed youth who cannot afford participation costs, such as those granting access to a computer. Nevertheless, recent discussions and development indicate that poverty is multidimensional and not only limited to an economic condition, and is also a condition of political powerlessness, has led to a shift towards local participation and empowerment, where the local becomes a site of community development intervention. Non-formal education should be about enabling a shift in power where the educator is not the expert. The crucial element here is the relationship between the educator and the young person. As Smith describes, non-formal education aims to enable individuals and groups to identify, plan, resource, carry out, and evaluate their own learning projects. The educator's expertise is in the process of education rather than in the specific topic for ultimate study. Participation, empowerment, and mutual respect enable individuals to express and analyze their personal and shared realities, to take control of their own development and decide on its direction, acting upon their own ideas. Non-formal education, by its very nature, offers young people the autonomy to participate in whatever they choose, or not, as the case may be. It can also provide an opportunity for young people to learn about their own needs, strengths, and shortcomings, whilst actively participating in societal decisions. Thus, the emphasis here is on voluntary, active participation. However, we cannot work towards social inclusion without critically analysing the causes of exclusion. Non-formal education can provide the context in which critical awareness is encouraged, where young people actively participate in dialogue and question their own situation, environment, and culture, acquire a new understanding of it, and the skills to think and act politically. In order to prepare for this paper, I was assigned a short passage. It described an experiment involving cockroaches running away from a light source. I thought about the passage and it didn't make sense to me. Instead, I pictured cockroaches running towards a light source, blinded by the light, and none of them really quite sure why they were running in that direction. And then I pictured two more cockroaches, and I called them Mango and Chutney. And they weren't running towards the light. it could be for different reasons. Maybe they couldn't see the light. Maybe they didn't want to run towards the light. Maybe they couldn't get towards the light. It doesn't really matter why. The important point is they're not running. So what does this have to do with the present paper? Education as a political act. Modernization continues to produce emancipatory potential in tandem with new forms of repression, resistance, as well as power. Non-formal education invariably involves a level of absorption in pre-existing structures, but can also help to transcend these structures. The combined work of Gramsci and Frère provide an important conceptual framework for the discourse and practice within non-formal education. The concept of hegemony is central to Gramsci's thinking and embodies his most important legacy. Ideological hegemony describes a process whereby a dominant class contrives to retain political power by manipulating public opinion, creating what Gramsci refers to as the popular consensus. Through its exploitation of religion, education, and elements of popular national culture, the dominant class can impose its worldview and have it accepted as common sense. And in this case, the common sense dictates that we run towards the light. Thus, the task for Gramsci is to develop critical forms of theoretical consciousness that actually engage with practical activity, develop it, and give it a sense of its own historicity. The nurturing of class consciousness is the key to understanding the transformation process. The pedagogy of the oppressed clearly defines Paulo Freire's ideas on critical consciousness that is associated with the process of learning about the world and taking action against the oppressive elements of that reality. The methodology is based upon a democratic relationship between teacher and student, a partnership between the two. His emphasis on dialogue, adopting a truly participatory approach, can provide for the development of individual autonomy and the self-determination of youth. And here I refer back to Mango and Chutney. The pedagogy allows for a unique way of creating space for the celebration of difference, micro-political resistance, and perhaps a way of holding back bureaucracy and the reasoning of administrative and economic mechanisms in favor of social participation and self-empowerment. A return to the fundamental issue of dehumanization found in Frère's work can provide non-formal educators with a basis for the unveiling and political transformation of oppression experienced by many of today's society. The risk lies in how far non-formal educators are prepared to give up their position of assumed superiority and adopt an equal role within the case of youth and community workers, young people. And in conclusion, and no yellow card, I did? Oh, damn. This is because I didn't know this. In reality, that is often beset with problems. The political is often personal and experienced by a multidimensional society, including those privileged by class, gender, age, and race. In terms of praxis, a return to the work of both Gramsci and Frère ensures that the sphere of politics is extended beyond governments, political parties, and experts, including the non-formal educator. Politics is thus defined as a process which stretches from the daily experience of ordinary life to the wider questions of resource allocation and the self-determination of the community, including the youth population. One of the most important functions of a democratic culture is to provide the resources necessary for young people to develop their capacity to think critically, to actively participate in power relations and policy decisions that affect their lives, and to transform these social, economic, political, racial, and other inequalities that impede social relations. In terms of the purpose of youth work, the Costello report that was published in 1984 conveyed a shift in thinking, which emphasized the importance of empowerment and advocating the social and political education of youth, encouraging them to be critical participants of the society they belong to. Non-formal education must not merely serve to help young people and make sense out of their relationship as individuals with the world they live in. Such political or citizenship education is not simply about knowledge, but also reflection that leads to action, which embodies a commitment to human well-being, the search for truth, and respect for others. Non-formal education provides a location for a participatory three lines, and I said praxis properly. As non-formal educators, we are in a position to adopt a person-centered approach that challenges the existing ideological forces by adopting a liberating and transforming approach. This is praxis, the action of people who are emancipated and able to act for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Well done. Some more food for reflection on empowerment, voluntary participation, critical awareness, and so on and so forth. But I think the audience, Maria, should know the story about praxis. Okay? I'm not going to let this go away. When Maria was a first-year student here, and I used the word praxis for the first time, she thought I was so stupid that I couldn't pronounce the word practice properly. And that is how she learned praxis. Anyway, our collaboration with the Faculty of Education goes further than just talking words and words of praise. We have today invited also, and has very kindly accepted, Professor Peter Mayo from the Department of Educational Studies, and also coordinator of the Adult Education Program. Professor Mayo will talk about non-formal education and lifelong learning. Professor Mayo.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here. And congratulations for becoming a department. That's for somebody who believes in non-formal education, that is a tremendous boost. I'm also glad to hear the previous speaker. The one who preceded me, I forgot the name, but I don't have the program. My apologies. We should actually get together and set up the Malta, Gramsci, and Freire Society. Right. So I also try to dodge the bullet, not get the red card at the end. We'll see how far that goes. I was told I had to speak in English, so I prepared the whole thing in English. But if you like, I could switch to Maltese. And in fact, I feel much more comfortable doing that. But, you know, I mean, the PowerPoint, o ablinglis. Issa, li nitkellem u koll it-tnajt, iwa li ministerna namel nitkellem fuq kull punt li jem fil-PowerPoint, għalix huwa impossibbli biex naqgħod kollox kwarta. Hawnhekk għandkom id-definizzjoni uffiċjali ta' Ahmed and Coombs rigward non-formal, formal and informal. Jina intikom l-email tiegħi peter.mayo@um.mt minnu interessat nistenna bagħt lu bħala attachment il-PowerPoint. U forsi anki xi literatura fuq ċertu idejat li sen nagħmel riferiment għalihom hawnhekk. Ħaġa waħda biss li tnajt fuq formal, non-formal and informal, għandkom id-definizzjoni hemmhekk dan mhux xi test tal-għajnej. Li daw mhumiex bl-Ingliż mutually daw mhumiex exclusive of each other. Interessanti llum il-kumplessità li jeżisti bejn dak li huwa non formali, dak li huwa informali u dak li huwa formali għaliex huwa veru li ħafna nies li għadhom il-proċess ta' edukazzjoni non formali u koll panna li għandhom l-element informali fil-ħajja tagħhom, ħafna drabi jkun iridu ċertu validation biex anke jinbagħat jitlu fis-sistema formali u għalhekk għandna ħafna diskors dwar prior learning recognition u x'naf jien. Sanaqli jitlaq xej u rrit nibda di konstatazzjoni illi l-għonet metan nitkelmu beyond schooling kif no tema tal-ħafna tema tal-seminar irridu nżommu f'moħħna dik il-kelma li għandi miktuba misfel li ħadtha minn persuna ħabib personali tiegħi però kittieb prolifiku illi fil-fatt huwa ta' relevanza kbira għal min jinteressa ruħu fi youth studies Henry Giroux li Henry Giroux kien ħareġ Henry Giroux kien fassal ħafna l-kliem. He coined a lot of phrases. Waħda minnhom hija public pedagogy. Public pedagogy. Illi aħna nilludu ruħna hekk nassoċjaw l-edukazzjoni biss ma' schooling. Sfortunatament, għalkemm di tidher ovvja, tinstem ovvja, li education is not schooling, però fil-mentalità ta' ħafna nies għadha ingrained. Anki l-mod kif nitkellmu dwar funding u x'tip ta' policies u dana. U waħda minnhom hija di li nilludu ruħna apparti qabel ma nitkellmu fuq non-formal education, illi aħna maħniex mawx istituzzjoni toħra għajr dawk li huma deċiżament edukattivi, li huma mod espliċitu li huma edukattivi, li fil-fatt għandhom intentionality dak li qed jagħmlu, mhix incidental. Jiena daħħalt hemmhekk il-Disney Productions. Well, tax kemm inkitbu xogħlijiet fuq Disney Productions, l-effett li kollhom fuq it-tfassil ta' soġġettivitajiet, il-consciousness, m'nafx kif naqbad naqbuha bil-Malti, u anki id-desideri, id-desires tan-nies. Dan huma wkoll huma formed da huma istruzzjonijiet li influenzawna pedagogikament. Advertising, newsreels, biżejt taraw issa xiġri il-mod kif l-Amerika tipproġetta l-gwerer tagħha fil-Gulf War qabel u llum bħala TV spectacles, hemm element pedagogiku sfortunatament mhux it-tip ta' pedagogija li nħaddan jien. U ċertament mhux it-tip ta' pedagogija ispirata minn Don Milani li tant kemm iġġieled kontra ġiret għal l-kuxjenza libera. Sawa, u nisbal ċertament Gramsci u Foucault u Paulo Freire. Non-formal education vis-à-vis schooling, hawnhekk interessanti, kien UNESCO, għalkemm ikun ċerta non-formal education kien ġej ilu jeżisti, UNESCO kien hija l-istituzzjoni li promovit ħafna u tat validità kbira lil non-formal education, kien hemm raġuni għaliex. L-UNESCO kienet ipproġettat l-idea ta' education for all. Ovvjament, kien żmien ieħor, mhux iż-żmien tal-lum, mhux iż-żmien ta' dan li aħna l-intensifikazzjoni ta' globalizzazzjoni għaddej minnha, l-istat kellu ċertu kontroll fuq qasam soċjali, però l-istat kellu budget limitat. U ovvjament, hekk trid tkun ċiniku, u qed tistejjed tiżgur li UNESCO kien jaqbilla tippromovi non-formal. Illa għaliex ridet l-education for all, imma l-istati ma setgħux jipprovdu edukazzjoni formali għal kulħadd. U kien konvenjenza kbira biex wieħed jipromovi il-kunċett ta' non-formal education. Jiena inqas ċiniku minn hekk, naħseb il-UNESCO anki dak iż-żmien kienet ispirata minn ideoloġija ta' xelluk ħafna drabi għax kienet iddominata bħal kwalunkwe istituzzjoni marbuta mal-ġnuf magħquda mill-pajjiżi li huma l-maġġoranza tad-dinja, pajjiżi li aħna qishom issa bħala t-tielet dinja, u għalhekk l-Amerika u l-Ingilterra kienu ħarġu minnha fil-fatt. Illa għaliex fil-fatt jridu jippromovu dik il-kultura edukattiva bi kien qed toħroġ ħafna mit-tielet dinja fil-fatt. Il-non-formal education kemm jeżisti kullum kien, però ħadet impronta qawwija fil-letteratura mill-pajjiżi ta' bħall-Afrika ma' mod partikolari l-pajjiżi tal-Amerika Latina. Ovvjament it-test ewlieni huwa learning to be, ħafna minnkom ta' fuq dana, il-kunċett ta' lifelong learning, lifelong education dak iż-żmien, anki hemmhekk hemm ċertu ideoloġija differenti, kien proprju marbuta ma' dak it-test. L-education for a complaint, issa għandek tlet strata, tlet ferat, kif nara jiena, kif nara jizom, hemm dak min jara non-formal education pala complementary għal formal learning, u jeti komplementa dak li kelti għed propju Tony qabel, hemm min jara non-formal education pala l-antitesi, għonek hija oppożizzjoni binarja pratikament, mal-schooling, illi ċu għal-eżempju klassiku, learning webs li jitkellem ħafna fuqhom The Schooling Society, għakem il-liċ kida bħafni iktar minn sempliċement The Schooling Society, għandu xogħol interessanti fuq il-professionals, fil-fatt. Non-formal education pala sostitute għal-schooling, għall-iskola. Dan għansibuħ f'pajjiż ta' tlet dinja fej l-edukazzjoni popolari fil-pajjiżi fej hemm faqar trement jieħu post l-iskola mhux b'xelta, sempliċi raġuni għaliex f'ċertu villaġġi fl-Amerika Latina ftit hemm ċans li inti wieħed jaffaċċja skola. U għak inti jirnexxielek timxi mili biex forsi taffaċċja skola, ħafna drabi mħabba nuqqas ta' riżorsi, eċetera, inti jgħidulek li inti drop out fil-fatt you are pushed out wara t-tieni sena. Allura hija ħafna drabi il-non-formal education anki meta tieħu xejra ta' edukazzjoni popolari bħalma ħadet fl-Amerika Latina ma tkunx ħlief sostitut għall-iskola ma mhux kif jitkellem fuqha għaliex, fil-fatt pratikament hija għaliex timla l-vojt. Il-vojt li qed hemm, il-vojt li ma jeżistix, ma teżistix edukazzjoni formali. Ma nafx hekk kien f'temx tajjeb fuq di. Ok, ovvjament nitkellmu fuq popular education, nitkellmu fuq non-formal education, ma nistgħux ma nitkellmux fuq Paulo Freire. Mhux l-uniku persuna li kien hemm ta' suġġett, qashu l-uniku persuna mill-Brażil li ta' spinta l-da' suġġett, però huwa bniedem li jispira ħafna nies. Wet mill-iktar nies li ġi ispirati minn Paulo Freire li ta' kontribut kbir huwa Frej Betto. Carlos Alberto Libanio Cristo, Dominican like tal-qasam. Paulo Freire, ovvjament, ħadem ħafna fil-qasam tal-edukazzjoni non-formali, però mhux biss kif ħanispjega. Hemmhekk jħares li l-edukazzjoni non-formali bħala sostituta l-iskola fejn din mhijiex ma teżistix, where it is not available, fejn mhijiex preżenti. Għal raġunijiet li semmejt qabel, illa għaliex għal ħafna postijiet fl-Amerika Latina scale ma jeżistux. U jew inkella hija mċaħda. Ċertu ħafna tfal u żgħażagħ huma imċaħda minn din l-iskola minħabba l-proċess ta' pushing out, jien seħla pushing out, sfortunatament il-miżnomer hija drop out, naraw l-ideologija ta' dak il-konċett qisu t-tort għadhom tal-individu għalhekk dropped out, ma narawx ir-raġunijiet soċjoloġiċi għaliex ċertu tfajli jistgħu mis-sistema edukattiva u oħrajn jitħallgħu barra. Frer ma kienx jara l-edukazzjoni non formali bħala sostituta l-iskola, kien jemmen fil-fatt l-iskola, kien jemmen l-iskola bħala sit ta' kontestazzjoni. Bħala sit ta' kontestazzjoni daw rieħ għaliex meta eventualment u kellu l-possibilità jirriforma s-sistema pubblika f'belt partikolari, il-ħames l-ikbar belt li hu fid-dinja, il-belt ta' Sao Paulo, meta il-sindaku tal-partit tiegħu repet l-elezzjoni għambat tifforma gvern fuq livell municipali, seħet il-Paulo Freire biex ikun segretar tal-edukazzjoni. U hu fil-fatt kien daħħal il-kunċetti alternativi. Qabilat li l-edukazzjoni popolari alternativa l-iżgħar formali għal dik formali. Alternativa mhux biss għax toħdi l-apposta, illa li hemm il-flessibilità fl-edukazzjoni non formali biex tagħmel esperimentazzjoni, biex tagħmel edukazzjoni dialogali u anki bbażat fuq dialettika kruċjali fi Paulo Freire, min jaqra Pedagogy of the Press huwa l-kunċett ċentrali li huwa l-kunċett il-metodoloġija ta' dialettika li hemm, il-kunċett ta' praxis, il-kunċett aristotelian. Action and reflection, li semmi personal kellima ta' qabel. Dawn l-idejat flessibli daħħalhom fis-sistema tal-iskola, l-sistema pubblika. Ovvjament, kellu seta' jagħmlu għaliex meta inti għandek sitwazzjoni fej it-tfal m'għandhom xejn kull ma jiġi meħba bih. Sfortunatament, ħafna minn daw l-esperimenti I shudder to think x'kien jiġri Malta kif ikun provaw nagħmluhom hawn. Meta huma l-ewwel l-istess nies li t-tfal tagħhom jifallu mis-sistema edukattiva huma li tipprova tirriforma l-iskola anki mħabba li jiġu wkoll imxewxa mill-politikanti malari jqumu. Wol diri għolek għandna ħafna politikanti ma jdix jieħdu riskju fl-edukazzjoni jgħidulna, ma jgħidux iktar skossi. Paolo Freire da seta' jagħmlu, għax meta m'għandek xejn kollox merħba bih. Persun oħra li ovvjament huwa naħseb jiena għal qalbi ħafna. Sewgħu ħafna persuni taw kontribut, voli qed nagħmel xelta hawnhekk qed nagħmel għażla. Huwa Lorenzo Milani u l-iskola ta' Barbjana. Ovvjament dan ukoll figura importanti anke għal youth studies fil-ferma tiegħi. L-edukazzjoni non formali ġew Barbjana, Don Milani qabad tfal li literalment ġew imkeċċija mill-iskola waħluhom mis-sistema skolastika għalhom komx tajbin, inkom tajbin biex taħdmu fl-eliqi, għamel mirakli bihom u ħoloq proċess alternattiv. Proċess edukattiv alternativ li wasalhom għall-istess riżultati in the long term. Mela similarity of outcome imma difference in the process involved. Dik hija l-iskola ta' Barbjana, dak il-figura ta' Don Milani, parti minnha insomma ġiet Mattija, li mit fl-1967 u allura sa ħajalaq 40 sena proprju għandna 40th anniversary 2007. L-interessanti però anki da ma firiċ ma għaliex isma' l-iskola tiegħi non formali hija l-antitesi tal-iskola, hija l-antitesi tal-iskola konvenzjonali, mhux l-iskola kif tista' tkun. U infatti l-ikbar xogħol li l-iktar xogħol magħruf mhux l-ikbar xogħol ta' Don Milani, l-ikbar xogħol Don Milani huwa esperjenze pastorali fejn jitkellem anke fuq il-proċess pedagogiku. Imma l-iktar xogħol huwa magħruf li huwa l-awturi huma xejn li fl-istudenti, it-tmien studenti li kellu l-iskola di Barbjana, lettra huna professoressa li ssibuh fuq l-internet u tista' tinżluh bl-Ingliż letter to a teacher. Pratikament huwa xejn ħlief għajta għall-ġenituri biex jorganizzaw ruhom, jitalmu jużaw dal-statement bħala clarion call biex jorganizzaw ruhom għalli jġildu għall-demokratizzazzjoni tal-iskola. Mbagħad hemm nies oħrajn, għandek tradizzjoni kbar f'non formal education, klassi tal-ħaddiema bl-organizzazzjoni tagħha, ġeneralment organizzazzjoni soċjalisti, kellhom it-tradizzjoni ta' edukazzjoni alternattiva, ħafna drabi non formali, kien jsiru f'postijiet differenti, dak jidhru independent working class education. Tista' ħafna tfittxu fuq hekk m'għandix il-ħin biex nispjega. Għandek il-learning and social movements, il-movimenti soċjali. Ħafna drabi anke li tipparteċipa f'organizzazzjoni fih dan movement soċjali għandu element organizzattiv u element edukattiv fih. Sija informali, sija incidental u anki non formali. U forse daw insemmi consciousness raising groups, speċjalment fil-movement femminista, isiba ħafna di. Issue-centered learning projects. Għandek ukoll il-kunċetta teachings, dobajt karta safra. Għandek il-kunċetta citizenship schools, leadership fil-qasam soċjali. Miles Horton huwa figura importanti. Christian-based communities, insomma, u għandek il-tradizzjoni indiġeni. Naqleftit, kontest Malti meċu fej ta' fuqom daw, dak by the way, dik il-facċata ta' istituzzjoni ta' ġezwiti seħel Paulo Freire Institute, dak hemm Father Edgar hemm x'imkien fidlam hemmhekk. Suppost hija f'attività oħra tiegħu llum. Anyway, naqleftit, non-formal education u konċett ta' civil society, in Ħostija u Malta m'għandniex tradizzjoni qawwija ta' civil society kif qed il-kelma għandha tifsir differenti bis-Scottish Enlightenment illum. Gramsci, per esempio, għandu tifsir differenti ta' civil society, Burgerlich Gesellschaft, milli mod kif qed nużaw għallum. Illum qed nużaw bħala tliet parti bejn l-istat u l-industrija. Ma tantx għandna tradizzjoni qawwija, pjuttost għandna tradizzjoni qed naraw iktar elementi lemmin tal-lemmin ħirġin. Emma, imbagħad nitkellem hawn Rays of Hope. Ma tantx għandna a progressive social movement culture, dik il-kultura li tippromovi l-idea ta' edukazzjoni tal-adulti u non formali għal trasformazzjoni soċjali. Li huwa proċess kontinu li jfisser impenn kontinu fil-sfida għall-aktar ġustizzja soċjali u biex wieħed jisfida status quo. Naqlebu ftit, però għandna Resources of Hope, terminu li nuża minn Raymond Williams, awtur ieħor influenzani. Għanna u koll gruppi li jituna spazju, kuntest li fih naħdmu, sija pala youth workers, pala adult educators, nuża terminu ġenerali, cultural workers, nħob nuża dik terminu, terminu li assoċjat ħafna maġġiru. Għanna nies pal environmental lobby groups, naħseb li ktar ħaġa għandna viċin social movement għal Malta, organizzazzjoni li huma jitkellmu fuq ġustizzja, justice and trade, kummer ġust. Sowa, anki gruppi ta' residenti fil-Manikata, per eżempju, għal-ħarsien rurali, ta' mek, l-ħarsien rurali ta' tajntu fiħa. Daw jiprovdu ħafna mill-kuntest għal non-formal education. Internazzjonalment, nsibuħom liktar u l-edukazzjoni kritika ħarġet f-movimenti illi jġildu għal dinja mux kif nillum imma kif tista' tkun. Naġa naqleb ftit, konsilli lokali, nasab għandhom rol importanti ħafna, mal-FES provajna naħmu wkoll mal-konsilli lokali. Hemm problemi li pretendi li għandu kien hemm budget għal kunsill lokali li jintuża biss għall-edukazzjoni naqilbu ftit, għandek il-kwestjoni ta' funding, problema kbira ħafna għall NGOs li jaħmu proprju fis-settur non formali, jiddependu ħafna mill-funding Ewropew, dak il-funding Ewropew, funding minn barra jinfluwenza mhux ftit l-aġenda għax trid tagħmel ċertu kompromessi u m'għandek x'anki nies biex tikkompeti għal dak il-funding, qed tikkompeti ma' istituzzjoni tikbar minnek li għandhom dipartimenti sħaħ biex jiġġieldu għal funds. U fl-aħħar l-istat, noqgħodu attenti. Użan għala għawnek, l-istat għandu rol importanti xorta. Għala namlu zbal kbir, ek aħna nħarsu lej non-formal education li l-immin l-istat. Sfortunatament, l-istat modern dak li jrid, l-istat anzi post-modern dak li jrid. Illa li xillum, l-istat mandux il-faċilità li kellu qabel. Illum, bil-mobilità tal-kapital, l-istat ma tantx għandu qiegħed taħt pressure biex jonfu inqas fuq il-programmi soċjali, qed nitkellem fuq livell globali. U aktar fuq livell ta' human resource development. U allura jagħti jifna il-diskors għodin fuq community, non-formal learning, għalfej, biex l-istat jabdika responsabilitajiet. Allura hawnhekk għandna x'ismu. Jien m'għandix numru x'nurik referi, għax jiena pal Celtic Atlantic il-numru qed fuq qasit. So ringrazzjak.
Proset u gazzi. Et naħseb għannix nkomplu għal-ġimma sħiħa n-diskutu da' s-sujġett mill-li għet nisimaw il-lejla. U li rinni xtiqni ringazzja għall-speakers kolla, pero l-ħin għaddej u għet nars u lejn it-tmim ta' tawx qalbkom u għalek issa minn ftit kunċetti u affarijiet teoretikal sa' naqilbu da' xej għal-practice u għanna magħna li l-Leonard li huwa wkoll student. Li qed jagħmel masters mad Department of Youth and Community Studies. U sajtina ftit lessons from the field.
So last Monday I made a mess with my time management with Dr. Clark, so I have to try to save my face. So that is why sometimes I try to grow a little goatee, because otherwise, you see, students won't always remember what we try to teach them. The words in blue are my addition, because I believe that in life all we can do is try, really. Do you agree with that? I think anyone who has ventured into the educational field would agree. But they will never forget what? Tell me. What will they never forget? Dr. Olbert, Linda Olbert, held a seminar here about 4 years ago in this room. I consider myself to be very lucky to have been present. So if the Finnish mobile phone company tells us that living is communicating, you see, teaching is relating. During my initial teacher training way back in 1992, I was 17 years old then. Some mathematicians are doing subtractions here. I am not as old as I look, so your answer might be correct. We used to have these tutorials, and our mentors, we called them in those days, they used to encourage us to reflect on what might seem to be existential questions, such as, who was your favorite teacher when you were in school? What distinguished this person from the rest? And people would come up with all sorts of reasons. Competent, knew the subject, knew how to teach it, knew how to make it interesting. But very often the common denominator was that that person knew how to relate. We are talking about young people. And something that I read in those days when I was 17 that remained impressed in my mind is that young people don't care how much you know. I never asked my favorite teacher how many degrees she had. Until they know how much you care. And this is something which I remembered all along. And year in, year out, my experience has confirmed it. Now, when we talk about formal education, as we've seen earlier on, we speak about schools and classrooms. One problem is that of authenticity, because you see, in the classroom, both the teacher and the student, especially the adolescent student, they act out a part. They are not themselves. They act a part that serves their purpose. The purpose of the adolescent might be to gain peer acceptance or to be liked by the teacher. The teacher's purpose might be maintaining classroom control or getting good results, because otherwise he or she will be judged by colleagues and by administrators as being not so good, perhaps. And you see, when you meet young people outside the classroom, they start to tell you things. They tell you things like, sir, you know, my baby sister is diabetic. And when my parents are out, sometimes I have to inject her with insulin. And the moment you step in the classroom, that person is no longer the little kid with spiky hair who sits in front, but he becomes Daniel, whose baby sister is diabetic, and who sometimes has to inject her with insulin. And you start to look at people in a very different light when that happens. One piece of advice which, as a budding teacher, I was given in classroom management lessons, don't smile before Christmas, which makes a lot of practical sense in the classroom. However, I found this very challenging because it is not who I am. So I do it. I still do it. But I find it difficult because that's not myself. That's fake. That's a mask. That's an act. But we all do. Both the teachers and the adolescents. Our good old friend who was mentioned previously today, he says that the schools are modernist institutions trying to serve postmodern expectations. So that might explain why many students find the classroom to be very boring. Something which I like to repeat a lot is that nowadays young people, they come from homes that are very well equipped, very high tech. They have cinema systems, flat screens, and then they come to class and what they find is a battered table sometimes, a whiteboard and a marker and a nagging teacher. Some of them are bald like myself, so you see, it's not very exciting really. Okay, some stuff you have heard before. Characteristics of non-formal education. Or some of them at least. I do not have the time to go through them, but you've heard this before anyway. However, I decided to include them because it is only against this scenario that we can juxtapose then the formal system and to see why convergence is important. You see, we speak about relevance to needs, especially of disadvantaged groups. And I put that in blue on purpose. Concern with specific categories of people, empowerment, equal opportunity, the recognition of people's uniqueness, their individuality, not only recognized, but valued, and more important, nurtured. Choice, negotiated programs and activities, and informed decision making. Now, obviously, formal education is essential. Without it, none of us would be here today. We are the product of a formal educational system. However, it has a few negative aspects all around the globe, but I will try to focus on the local scene. We have imposed curricula that may not always be relevant to everyone. We have a concern with the collective rather than individual concerns. We have imposed cultural norms and codes of behavior, very often cultural norms pertaining to the middle class, as we've heard earlier on. This would take a whole week to discuss. For some categories of students, hegemony, disempowerment, and the reproduction of social inequality. This is how some categories of students experience formal education, notwithstanding the goodwill, which very often is there, right? And people like Gramsci, Freire, the Frankfurt School, the critical theorists, sociological thinkers, they have in the past and they continue to engage with these phenomena even today because they are still very much with us. We have assessment, very often summative, that impacts on adolescents' self-worth and favors certain students to the disadvantage of others. Dr. Azzopardi earlier on mentioned prize-giving ceremonies. You know, when you really think about what is going on here, it makes you reflect, really. We have competition and comparison. We have political and economic agendas. If you think about the prestige that is accorded nowadays, for instance, to science subjects, I mean, even here at the university, you know, some courses, the law students who look down on, you know, the prestige that is accorded to science. If you study a science subject, you are considered to be more intelligent in many schools. Sometimes political decisions, they reinforce this. If we think about the last stipend revision here at the university, the BSc students had their stipend increased, while at the same time the stipend of everyone else was decreased. So that sends a very clear message. This is what's important. Science gives us the answers to today's questions, the solutions. This is what we need. Everyone else, we can do without. Some common teacher complaints. Well, it's easy to understand why. Very often there is a mismatch between school and home or the outside world. Very often teachers say, we try to build something here, and then they go home and it's dismantled. We try to instill certain values, then they go outside in society and they find that they don't work. Lack of time and overloaded programs. Many teachers, I think the majority of teachers in the formal system, they mean very well. They are well-intentioned. They would like to go beyond the formal, but they cannot because they have to complete the syllabus. They have to battle with the yellow card. I'm all the time looking there. Bureaucracy, filling in so many papers that takes up so much of your time, which you could spend with your students outside and on the grounds, in the corridors, because that is where you get to know them, really. Alien settings and structures and lack of resources. Also, the multiplicity of roles and increasingly unrealistic demands. Sometimes teachers in some schools, they have to do the work of a clerk, of a babysitter, of a social worker, of a cleaner. I found myself painting a room once, a psychologist, a social worker, a counselor. You know, you have so many roles. So what we need is convergence and cooperation rather than distanciation and rivalry. I will not bore you with theories about non-formal education. You've heard them all. We've had input today, previously. Much less will I try to tell you anything new. Most of you are in the field, like myself, right? What I would like to do tonight, to conclude, is to share with you just one of a number of experiences that are dearly cherished in this youth worker's heart. In the early 1990s, I met an adolescent lad who was not called Ryan. He was 13 years old. Parents were in the process of separating. The financial situation of the family suddenly became precarious. He found himself moving from a comfortable house in Gzira to a small flat where he barely had any space to live. He was forced to change the school with all its implications because his mother, who could not afford to keep on paying the bill, the fee of the private school he used to attend, he lost most of his friends. Steadily deteriorating academic performance. He was eventually classified as a low achiever, and people used to describe him as being withdrawn, reserved, and having a poor self-image. So this was not Ryan. I changed the name for obvious reasons. He had started attending this group where I used to give a helping hand at the time, and although we tried to build a good rapport with this teenager, it seemed that he remained passive, quiet, and withdrawn. He seemed to be reluctant to trust. He rarely spoke. He looked irritated when people encouraged him to contribute, but he kept attending. One fine evening at 9 p.m., he called me at home, and he told me, "I need to ask you something." And coming from him, it was rather strange, you see. Initiative of Lahardan. So I said, "Sure, go on, shoot." And he told me, "This girl I fancy wants to pay me to sleep with her." And in my mind I was saying, why is he telling me this stuff? I mean, it's free pleasure, it's paid, what's more, what else could he want? You know, most young people would probably go for it. So I asked him, "Well, how do you feel about it?" And he says, "Well, I mean, it's sex and some money would really come in handy right now." To which I replied, "And what is the question you wanted to ask?" And he said, "I need to talk." And that was the start of a non-formal educational relationship. We used to go for walks. We used to discuss what was going on at home. We used to discuss what subjects he wanted to choose in school, essays he would be writing at the time. We used to study together sometimes. I used to get him to teach me the stuff he was studying. Sometimes we would just hang out for a coffee. His grades in school started to improve very slowly. It was very challenging because he would phone me at very inconvenient moments of the day. I'm in the bathroom and he phones me up and he says, "Do you believe in God?" I'm concluding. Eventually I lent him my guitar, so he joined a band and he made new friends there. His O-level results were pretty good, I'd say above average. He went into sixth form, he joined, he was involved in a number of activities. And 2 weeks ago, I sent him a graduation card. He just graduated from university last week. And I would like to conclude by sharing with you a snippet from a letter he wrote back to me when he received the card. Ryan says, and I quote, I was once a discouraged teenage wimp, with no real friends, no ambition, and a bleak future. But along the way I met one person who believed in me when everyone else thought I was no good. One person who listened, unlike many others who failed to even hear. I met one person who fathered me when my parents were too busy fighting each other to notice that I was around. One person who showed me that there were choices to be made when everyone else kept ordering me what to do. I met one person who lent me books and stuff that I needed but could not afford to buy. One person who gave me direction and vision when the lights went out and all was dark. As I graduate, I realize today that one person was to me more than a friend, a brother, a father, a wise guide, my hero. Good evening.
Thank you very much, Leonard. What else can I say? I think we have made a very good choice of speakers this evening. And our last speaker, who will not let us down, I'm sure, is Dr. Endre Azzopardi, who is the organizer of this seminar, and who will be talking about understanding the context. Haven't we understood anything? Can you help us, please? Thank you.
Okay, dear colleagues, today's seminar has most certainly been a very positive experience. Well, so far at least. The way our society is constructed reflects the culture of a community. We need to take account of this veracity if we want to develop into a better civilization. An initial generalization I would like to share with you is that any institution, deliberately or involuntarily, can bring about an ideological intent of oppressing young people. Youth and community work, and that places additional responsibility on the Department of Youth and Community Studies, is expected to lie at the heart of the struggle. Through the active involvement of practitioners and academics, in alliance with young people and other stakeholders, we can and should unearth and locate ways into transforming our society into a truly inclusive community, thus removing this risk-oriented mindset we seem to keep bringing up in youth discourse. Now, before going any further, I need to admit and own up to something. The Simpsons is my favorite TV show. Yes, I know it's foul, vulgar, uncouth, bad-mannered, and impolite. The pinnacle of it all is that this family's name is called Simpson. That literally translates son of a simpleton. Nonetheless, this broadcast not only illuminates my spirits, but engages me in asking deep-seated questions on the position of this family and its members within the social context. Now, Bart is the most misunderstood of the Simpsons, poor boy, the story of my life. He's constantly disenchanted, and saddened, and embittered by the narrow-minded people of Springfield, who judge him merely by his thoughts and actions. At heart, he's just a good kid with a few bad ideas and a couple of really bad ones. Basically, Bart is not really very different from other young people his age. He enjoys bubblegum, skateboarding, and being non-conforming. Frankly, he reminds me of some people I work with in this department. Now, this leads me to an important reflection, especially when relating to this context I am immersed in. What we think of as youth differs in the similar theoretical positions, but is partly defined against the notions of the normal self, as a rational, responsible, free, conscious, choosing, autonomous being, a rather contestable position, I believe. On the other hand, the dominant discourses of both psychological and sociological approaches to adolescence and youth have been important in enabling educators to understand or misconstrue youth identity within the learning environment. Community learning can be viewed as a process which has recognized community purposes and which will achieve a reconciliation of the individual's value sets. It is through learning that communities develop in recognizable ways. It is through community that our youth become more engaged citizens. Unless we create this feeling of correlation, all we will get is a detached standpoint. Now, the seminar has debated non-in and formal education vigorously and robustly. It is justifiable at this point to round up the seminar by conceptualizing what for the seminar one can consider a problematic issue. The two important concepts we have localized in this debate, formal education as systems of organized learning, non-formal education as any organized educational activity outside the established formal system, informal education as a truly lifelong process that allows individuals to acquire knowledge, proficiency and values from daily experiences. Indulging in youth research requires that we go beyond the formal. We need to create bridges with the absolutely brilliant work you people are doing. It is about reflecting on the magnitude of interference and effectiveness you are leaving in our community. This is why we are here today, to honor such an accomplishment. Now, going back to Bart, he says, if I do something bad and there's no one to catch me, does that make me good? The construction of youth has often been damaging, not only to the subculture, but also to society in general. Youth is partly defined against traditional humanist philosophical notions of the normal adult self that views an archetypal citizen as stable, fixed, autonomous, often characterized as independent, fully transparent to self and responsible for his, her actions and exercising conscious choices about it. This notion of self is not universal. Traditional approaches to understanding youth that are based on both developmental and humanist existentialist discourse, and which have been readily adopted by tacticians, have serious shortcomings. Universalizing stage theories of child and adolescent development, such as those of Jean Piaget and many others, have been probably the most influential in how the adolescence was theorized. Mishandled development psychology and sociological speculation has established, taken for granted, truths about how we conceptualize youth and in turn education. The adolescent was seen as an individual trying to engage with one's identity or true self that becomes established for life. However, the effect has been to label, diagnose, categorize, calculate, normalize, judge, pathologize youth, young people, as being attention deficit disorder, maladjusted, dyslexic, conducted disorder, oppositionally defiant, anyway, the list goes on. Linear sets of stages of development towards becoming a fully autonomous, independent individual do not seem to fit the experience of growing up. Since the late 1970s, a contextualized approach based on the work of Brunner, Vygotsky, Brafenauer have favored an incapacitating development discourse. The emphasis on the social has major implications for how adolescents are understood as social beings who operate both individual and in groups, interdependent with others, and how education, with its holistic dimension, has a role to play in their achievement as full citizens. We need to acknowledge that our context converges complex realities conditioned by a selective, value-laden society. Our youth, I believe, are in our cramped context. They are victims of a social milieu burned with political polarization. I'm speaking about Malta here. Dominance of the Catholic Church and on an over-involved family configuration. Pardon the pun, but the real overdose is in the overindulging of society that needs to let go, create more space for innovation and expression. We adults need to minimize suspicion and mistrust and open to debate. We need to stop looking at youth as being an oddity in our society, but rather the value-added. My argument is based on grassroots communique and a present debate I keep open with the young people I am affianced with. We need to move away from such definitions as lost in a media world, living in hyper-reality, and like the punk rockers before them, with no future. While their behavior is undeniably juvenile, offensive, sexist, homophobic, and downright politically incorrect, it allows the diagnosis of the underclass and downwardly mobile youth who have nothing to do but to destroy things and engage in asocial behavior. And to start winding up my presentation before I get the card this evening, I would like to pose some quick questions. How are the general pedagogic tactics in our schools and non-formal settings shaped, developed, and motivated? What actions lead up to positive conditions concerning social upbringing as well as cognitive development? How do professionals conceptualize educational processes? What considerations professional and academic structures can become perceived, identified, and described in the pedagogical work and in turn contribute to citizenship? Like Freire, the Barbiana schoolboys recognize the political dimension of education when they make the following call. Whoever is fond of the comfortable and fortunate stays out of politics. He does not want anything to change. To get to know the children of the poor and to love politics are one and the same thing. You cannot love human beings who are marked by unjust laws and not work for other laws. Currently, all of civilization is founded on a total, on a faulty premise. In the history of the world, no civilization has ever worked as well as its founders thought it should. The longer we ignore the problem, the worse it gets. So there's no better time to start than like the present. Youth need to lead their own movement for social change. And as adults, possibly allies, we have had their share of governing society. We need to mentor it. If necessary, we need to shift off. And as my little guru says, I can't promise I'll try, but I'll try to try. Youth, today's youth, are our future. And speaking on my own account, I am waiting impatiently to see how a couple of Bart Simpsons will fare when they grow old enough to make our leaders. It is only when we start making a personal decision to create a community accessible to all that we can really say we have society. Colleagues, this is a long and winding road. But be not unsettled. We are professionals, certified and proficient. We are adept. We are committed leaders in our communities. We share the brilliant value of integrity and veracity. We are respectful to others. What we need to do is learn a bit more, read a bit more, and reflect much more. Fear not of change. Uneasiness is for the weak. Dear colleagues, thanks for the work you have all put in the seminar. A special applause to Tony for creating this project called Youth Cum Department, an almost lifetime struggle for him. The seminar is also about his work, his vision, and his prophecy. Cheers, and let me see a smile. It's the festive season. Time to party, rest, and have some fun. Thanks for listening. Hope the seminar will contribute in making your work more effective than it already is.
You have just listened to an open seminar on youth and community-related issues entitled Beyond the Formal, an Educational Experience Made Real. This open seminar was organized by Dr. Andrew Atsopardi.